Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sandpits Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to All the Small Games, a podcast where we talk about the small games, and by small, I mean indie. My name is Jonathan Valenzuela. With me, as always, is my fantastic co-host. Tell him your name, son.
Hey everybody, it's me, Andrew Levins, the co-host.
The co-hostess with the co-mostest. We're back for another episode, and I think in a rare sort of opportunity or event, we are aligned today. We have both played the exact same games over the last week.
Our indie periods have synced up and we've played the two same games.
Oh, God. What did we play, Levins?
Yeah, so the two games that we both played without prior organization, we both just happened to play these games. One of them is brand new out over the weekend, and the other one came out the week before. So we have two wonderfully named games. One of them is called Rain on Your Parade, in which you play a cloud whose job is to ruin everyone's day. And the other one is called Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, which I knew I needed to play it the moment I discovered it existed, however many months ago it was that it was announced. But in that game, you play a turnip boy whose day has been ruined because your greenhouse has been taken by the mayor because you haven't paid tax.
Yes.
And it's an adventure game. So we have two very fun, colorful, and cute games that we both played. John, would you like to take a pick as to which of these games we want to talk about first?
I reckon let's do Rain on Your Parade first, just because I feel like if we're going to talk Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion, we're going to get into some spoilers to really sort of get to the heart of the game.
Get to the grit of who Turnip Boy really is as a man, as a turnip, as a tax evader.
So let's kick off with Rain on Your Parade. I'm just trying to think. I haven't seen... I mean, normally we'd have news at the top of the podcast, but I haven't really seen anything around this week that's grabbed my attention.
Well, while we're talking about Rain on Your Parade, I'll check all the Small Games Discord community to see if any news is posted in there.
Good on them.
You can join that same community by heading to patreon.com/allthesmallgames. We love hearing from our friends, and that's a great place to congregate and talk about indie games.
Yes. Especially, you know, if you've ever listened to us and thought, gee, I'd like to interject on that bit of conversation.
Gee, I'd like to post a game that doesn't actually exist so they include it in their news section. Now's a chance.
Yeah, true. Patreon.com/allthesmallgames. Anything popping Discord-wise?
No, not really.
No?
Well, no news. No lots, news of, is, lots of popping. Very little news.
No news is good news. We're staring down the barrel. E3 is coming up in June, so there's going to be a ton of news coming through then.
Who needs news when you've got so many brand new indie games to play? Like Rain on Your Parade, which is a new game that launched on everything over the weekend. Actually, everything except PlayStation. So it's on Switch, Steam, Mac, and Xbox. It's actually a Game Pass game. If you have Game Pass, you can play it for the cost of your Game Pass.
I'm forcing
myself not to say free, because it's not free.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you play a heap of games over the course of a month on your Game Pass, you amortize the cost, it winds up as cents on the dollar. But that's where I played Rain in Your Parade. I saw it on Game Pass and snagged it. What about yourself?
I played it on Switch thanks to a code from the developers and publishers, Unbound Creations.
Nice.
And the designer himself, Jacob Katsdalski.
Okay.
So when the game Untitled Goose Game came out in 2019, I think we both predicted that, I know I definitely talked about it with Angus on Hey Fam, that like there was going to be like just a litany of copycat games where you play, you know, Untitled Raccoon Game. Or just pick a random animal and you are that animal and your job is to fuck up everybody's day.
Sure.
And besides like a few games that I think are a lot more than just like, I would say that maybe Sneaky Sasquatch is slightly inspired by Untitled Goose Game, but is absolutely its own game in its own right. There's been surprisingly few games that have just copied that lightning in a bottle Untitled Goose Game formula. Rain on Your Parade, and I mean this in a good way, is like the first game that I think is like, oh, that was definitely like directly influenced by Untitled Goose Game.
Sure.
But it changes enough, so and the way you play the game is completely different to Untitled Goose Game. But as a concept, in this game you play a rain cloud.
Called Cloudy.
Cloudy, and the first thing you do as a cloud is just destroy a wedding. You have to wet all the guests and the happy couple, and The level is over once every guest is sopping wet and blue. You have a water meter, and generally you have to achieve everything you need to or your goals before you run out of water in the early levels. But things like abilities and specifications keep getting added to each level because this game has a world map where you basically hover over different levels, and when you rain on them, you enter the level and you get your task sheet. Appears before you. Sometimes you get like a little bit of story. This kind of is told a la The Princess Bride.
Yeah, it's very Princess Bride. It's a grandfather telling his grandson a story about Cloudy, essentially.
Yes. And making it up as he goes along.
Yeah.
I've just gotten a message from a character that I've met has just told me that I'm just past halfway.
Oh right, okay. I'm roughly in the same place as well.
Okay, cool.
Like, you've unlocked the snowing ability.
Yes, about 10 or so levels in, you get the ability to create thunder. Sorry, lightning. So you can strike lightning and set things on fire. And then I've just gotten the snow ability, which means you can make things slippery for people to slip over because you freeze it, or you can turn people into snowmen. And I imagine that there's going to be one more ability that we unlock before we finish the game.
There's one more button on the keypad, and I'm very curious what that's going to be. I've been having a lot of fun with this game because it's the kind of game where they've gone, okay, we have a mechanic. What can we do with this mechanic? So they've clearly just like been the design team at Unbound Creations have clearly just been like riffing out. Okay, what ridiculous things can we do? If we make the cloud rain oil, then we can have levels where the goal is to set everything on fire, for instance. There was a level I ran into. Have you completed all the levels up to the point where you are at?
Except I've been playing it with my kids, and they wouldn't let me finish the zombie level because it was too scary for them.
Right, okay. Yeah, I mean, there was one level where you don't get a task sheet and there's just a dog sitting there, and your cloud rains hands on the dog, and the goal was just to pat the dog.
And I think that only exists so they can get their game displayed on the website, Can You Pet the Dog?
Oh, right, sure.
Because there are tons of meta video game references in this game.
There's a whole level based around the TV show The Office.
Yes.
Where you play as the cloud in a like pretty
series
much
series of episodes. Yeah.
Yeah, but a perfect replication of the set of The Office, and you just, you know, you have to do like one of the episodes is you need to fill everybody's coffee cups with coffee. Another one, like, you need to start a fire in the office so everyone evacuates, which is based on one of the episodes of the show. Like, all these little bits and pieces. I think one of the characters you interact with is the frog from Frogger.
Yes.
But they never actually properly say it's the frog from Frogger, because that would be like IP violation. So it's
he's just kind of like, you know, you're probably too young to remember who I am, but I used to be a famous video game character. Yeah. I really enjoyed the Metal Gear level.
Oh, that was fantastic.
The intro. And if you get killed, or, you know, if you get spotted by one of the enemies in that level, because it is like a stealth level where you've got to wet people with torches before they shine their torch on you. When it gets to, like, the, you know, game over screen, it goes like, Cloud! Cloud! Instead of Snake. Great shit. There have been a few other references throughout there as well.
I was actually curious if you were playing this with Archie and Tilly, because when I was playing it, I'm like, this would be the perfect game to play with kids. It's like a Pixar movie. You enjoy the references that go over their heads, and they enjoy like a nice, bright, colorful world where they can kind of cause mayhem and have fun.
Yeah, and there's like relatively low stakes. I would say maybe like 50% of the levels you can't exactly lose. It might just take them longer to achieve all the goals of the level.
Yeah.
Although I will say that I think it's like the first level Archie did, and that was really easy. And I was like, oh, wow, cool. I bet maybe Tilly could do a level. So she did the next level, and sure enough, she was able to complete it. It was one where you have to set everything in the tire yard on fire.
Yep.
And she did it all. She was like, you know, really, really like careful and collected, but she managed to do it all before she ran out of gasoline or whatever, tar. And then the third level, I was like, okay, hand it back to me. Let's see how I go. The third level was the one where you have to stop people from disarming a bomb.
Oh, yeah, that one's tough.
Yeah, I just like, I couldn't do it. And it wasn't until I unlocked the lightning ability that I was able to finish that level, go back and finish it.
Have you managed to finish that one? Yes, I like just, the bomb just went off before they managed to defuse it. But it's super difficult.
Yeah, it was just a hilarious difficulty curve that to go from like a level that a 4-year-old had no problem to completing to a level that a 36-year-old experienced professional gamer was like, oh boy, I better come back to this later.
I definitely like this is because it's on my Xbox. It's one of those games that I play like late at night after my wife has gone off. You know, my wife and I have watched whatever we're watching for the evening and she's gone off to bed. I'll fire this up and play a few levels, I think.
I become a cloud.
Yeah. Pretty much, well, I mean, yeah, I think it's one of those things. Generally, stuff I play on Xbox, I inevitably burn out on quickly because it's the same as you playing games on your laptop. That's not what you use your laptop for. My TV and my Xbox are generally for TV watching, but I think this is the kind of game that I'll be like, yeah, I'll come back and, you know, knock out 5 to 10 levels before I go to bed, just for fun.
Yeah, we've been playing this one before school every day for the last week. And it's been fun because, like, Archie finishes breakfast before Tilly and I'm like, okay, cool, while I'm packing your bags, you jump on, you do a level and then I'll come and sit down and we'll all do some levels together before we go. That's great game just to pick up and play. You know, it reminds me of an app, basically.
Yeah, I mean, that's
but
one...
The best qualities of an app.
That's one benefit to it as well, is the levels are fairly short and discreet. So, you know, if you just want a snack, it's perfect for that.
Yeah, absolutely. A little gaming snack. The graphics are very simplistic 3D rendered figures.
Yep.
And backgrounds, but I think it works well for what the game is trying to do. Because it is like some of the things you are doing. It is like it's a physics based kind of puzzle game, I guess. And some of the effects of what the cloud is, you know, raining on everyone beneath them is, you know, it's purposefully clunky and funny. So I think having these like very easy to tip over 3D models works well for what the game's trying to do.
Yeah, and there are occasions where you zoom in on the models, and I think it's mentioned by one of the characters throughout the game. Everyone's made of yarn.
That's right.
And you can kind of see that yarn texture on the character models. There are, like, I have had a couple of frustrations. On levels where you have to wet everyone in the level, it can sometimes be really hard to see who's wet and who's not.
Yep.
Because, like, whenever you wet someone, they turn blue. And sometimes if a character has, like, dark hair and is wearing something dark, you can't really be like, oh, there's the person I'm missing. So there can be a bit of frustration around that, but... Yeah. I mean, that's a minor thing, really. Like for the amount of fun and joy that is packed in this game, Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's definitely worth grabbing. Whatever console you have to be on.
I've had a few more serious issues, mainly bugs. Mm. A couple of levels I had to restart. Because like either an achievement, like something I've done isn't clocking, it's not realizing that I've done it.
Right. Sure.
And then on the main menu screen, you can pretty much start playing the game straight away. And when you have, like, basically to start the game, you have to rain on the button that says start.
Yeah.
But you can also strike it with lightning, which my son did. And when you strike it with lightning, the start button just flies away.
Oh.
And you can't actually do anything. So I had to quit the game and go back in it.
All right. That's pretty wild. I haven't run into any bugs on the Xbox release so far. It's been pretty steady. But I guess I can try the zapping with lightning thing and see what happens.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd just set it on fire.
The start button just yeeted off the screen. It was, I was like, okay, now what do we do?
Well, we're not playing today, Archie.
it's a really fun game to play with kids. Definitely recommend it. You know, our kids, all the small games kids wreck.
Yeah. Small games, small people.
Oh, yeah. Small games for small people. That's a great little tag.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, shall we move from a mischievous cloud to a criminal root vegetable?
Yeah, so, I mean, what kind of game did you think Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion was going to be off the back of the name alone?
I mean, it's hard to say. That's like a crazy name to think of a game to. But I thought it was going to be more like a bit of a crime simulator.
Whereas, yeah, like, I thought you were going to be encouraged to actually commit tax crimes.
Yeah, or something along those lines. Like it would walk you through how to commit tax evasion. Maybe like it's an educational game.
Yeah, and maybe it shows you like the things that your taxes actually pay for. So by not paying them, look at the, you know, lack of the unfinished roads in your community. I don't know. I thought that's what it was going to be, like a more kind of like humorous look at what taxes are and what they how they serve the community. I don't know.
Sure.
So I was very surprised when you start the game straight away and it's like you get like a bill, like your tax bill, once you've, you know, like to pay the tax on your house, your greenhouse that you live in as Turnip Boy, and you just press A to continue, he just rips it in half. And
yeah.
That is the act of tax evasion.
Yes.
Because immediately you have been booted from your greenhouse by the mayor who is inside your greenhouse. And in order, if you want it back, you have to be his errand boy, basically. And you have to travel around this little map. It is like a semi-isometric view. It's pretty much like a very, very small Zelda, like,
yeah,
you know, a Link to the Past style adventure game. There's like, you know, areas of the map that you can't access at the start of the game. You have to unlock abilities that allow you to get past bushes, or people have to move out of the way for you, that kind of thing. But you're basically exploring. You're finding new weapons and abilities, and you're doing, you know, some light puzzles, a little bit of combat, and a whole lot of side quests, because you do, I guess, you kind of commit other... It's not so much that you are doing tax evasion, it's just that Turnip Boy likes to rip things in half.
Oh, God, does he love to.
there's like 30 sheets of paper, you know, it's either like maybe someone's autograph or someone will give you a piece of artwork. Like someone at one point is like, oh, I like to draw my own anime-inspired portraits. Here you go. And then you just rip it in half in front of the person that gives you a gift and they're like, hey.
Yeah. It is funny that anything you're handed, you have two options, read and rip. So you can read it and like it'll tell you any text that's on it and that kind of thing. And then to continue moving with the game, you have no option but to rip that thing in half.
Yep.
Pretty
amazing.
It is... Yeah, I definitely got that kind of Zelda-y vibe to it. You are on an adventure as Turnip Boy. And kind of as you adventure, you learn a little bit more about the world that you're in. I think there are two big twists in this game. And this is where we get into spoiler territory, essentially. But... The first big twist was discovering that, like, the whole game is set in the nuclear post-apocalypse.
I don't know if that, like, you know, I think what we're gonna the spoilers we're gonna be discussing, we're not really ruining the story for you. It's just like these odd little surprises that the game is in, and if anything, maybe they'll convince you to buy this game because I did have a great time playing it.
So as you explore, you kind of like you come to find out why there are talking vegetables everywhere. And, basically you piece together that there was a nuclear war and it's all the nuclear, like, nuclear fallout that stuck around afterwards. That's the reason why, you know, all these vegetables came to life. Which is, you know, an interesting little plot point, I thought.
Last week I reviewed a game called Kaze and the Wild Masks in which you play an animal fighting vegetables that have come to life. But in this game, you play a vegetable who has come to life, surrounded by other vegetables who have come to life, and all your enemies, for the most part, are like bugs.
Yeah, there's a couple of boss battles against, like, I think there's one against a cat, there's one against a deer.
So you got animals, yeah.
Yeah, those boss fights were generally, like, fairly manageable. There was
it's a very simple game.
There was one boss fight, though, which was the mutated kid in the bunker that I was just the difficulty just ramped way up on that one.
Yeah, I think I only died maybe like twice throughout the entire game. And we've both 100%ed this little game. It feels good to do that. But yeah. I think I would have only died maybe twice from trial and error in the boss fights. Just like,
yeah,
what does the game want me to do?
It was only that mutated girl boss fight that I got wiped in, and I think maybe the final battle against Mare Onion.
Yep. Yeah.
Which was pretty difficult. I am curious because you got both endings. I only got one.
Yeah, so there are two endings to this game. Basically, if you just complete the game without finding all of the artifacts that you can rip in half, you fight the mayor, because he's still spotting in your house, and he reveals that he has no plans to give you your house back. Once you've beat him in this, like, just this regular version of himself, he eats a bunch of fertilizer, to make himself super powerful. And once you beat him, the game's over. But if you've collected every artifact, you beat him once and then he like laughs and then you go to space. He launches a nuke.
Yes.
And you're sent into space and you and a bunch of IRS agents have to team up to take out his like final form.
And these are IRS agents that were working for the mayor the whole time. So
yeah, they're strawberries.
It's a sudden like, oh, we don't like this. We're joining your side now, which is fun.
I beat it the first time with like 96% completion or something like that. I think I had like there are collectible hats, artifacts, and there's a bunch of hearts. So when I first finished the game, I had like 8 hearts, and then I found the last two, 1 artifact and 1 hat. There's like a zombie cat who you can go visit. It's like this like godlike cat,
transdimensional cat.
Yeah, and if you go and talk to them, they tell you all the things that you may have missed. And they kind of give you a clue as to where you need to go to look for it. Once I got 10 hearts and then went and took on the final form of the mayor. And once you beat him the second time, you get 100%. But I managed to beat that final form on my first try, I had half a heart left.
Right.
managed to beat it.
similar to Rain on Your Parade, there's lots of like little references to pop culture and stuff like that scattered throughout the game. Like one of the people you deal with is a streamer. And,
yep.
You know, in order to get past you need to get past her to get into a house, and she wants a 3-tier sub. So you have to go to like a Subway sandwich shop and pick her up a 3-level sandwich.
Yeah.
You give that to her and she's like, cool, thanks for the 3-tier sub. I'll let you go. And like lots of other little bits and pieces. I think the writing in it's really cute.
Yeah, I agree. It's a really sweet game. It reminded me a lot of Piku Niku, the Devolver game that came out a couple years ago. Very like, you know, another small adventure game with like cute visuals, a funny concept, and just like fun gameplay first and foremost.
One thing that really stood out to me is the soundtrack.
Yes. I forgot to mention this with Rain on Your Parade. Rain on Your Parade, it feels like it's just like royalty-free music they found. It's the one area that I wish was better in that game, but I loved the soundtrack to Turner Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Did you have any... Because it changes area to area. Did you have particular favorites?
I liked the one in the abandoned house. That music was pretty sick.
Love that one. And the one in... I think it's called Rocky Ramps.
Oh, yeah.
That's got
some good music.
And during the... During the final boss battle against God Onion, that has like a crazy anime inspired super fast pop song, and then over the final credits, there's just a really nice acoustic guitar sing alongy kind of song that sums up the plot of the game. Yeah, I'm hoping that the soundtrack is released in some way, shape, or form. I'd love to buy it off Apple Music or something like that.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. My biggest criticism of the game was... First criticism is that the button for OK is B.
Mm-hmm.
B is the button that you go back with. That's the Xbox way, right? Wherever the B button is mapped on the... I guess maybe this game was designed for Xbox, first and foremost. Small gripe. But it led to me like ripping up that initial deed that starts the game way faster than I intended to, because I was expecting A to be the one to progress, and so I thought B would make me go back, but instead I ripped it in half and the game began. But so you have like a weapon that upgrades like to different other weapons throughout the game. It's like hack and slashing kind of stuff. And what is it at first? A sword, or is it
a dirt sword?
A dirt sword, and then it becomes a shovel at one point.
Yep.
You've got a watering can, and you have what's the third main? Oh yeah, you have this game has portals in it.
Yes, that's right.
Which I was not expecting that. It's not many abilities, and I'm pretty sure X doesn't do anything, and the shoulder buttons are seldom used.
I don't think they're used at all.
Well, no, you can. So you can toggle between your three abilities using the top two shoulder buttons,
sure.
Or you can hold Y and then select which one you want from the menu. But
sure.
I just thought, given how limited your options are, to not be able to use like a second button to map a different attack to, like you should just you should just be able to map your sword, your weapon, to always being in use.
Yeah,
and you have like. I think, is it B makes you trip over? I never used that. What was the use for that?
I think it's sort of a dodge function.
Right.
Because when you trip over, you do move a lot faster. And I did use it for a couple of boss battles to like quickly get out of the way of whatever was trying to attack me. But I mean, the recovery of it is slow. So it's not like you could never like dodge and attack. You always just sort of dodged and then had to keep moving wherever you were moving to.
Sure. That's my only gripe. I think it just I feel like I would be in the heat of the moment, especially in like some of the later boss battles. You have to constantly flick from the watering can to your sword, and then to a portal to avoid getting attacked. And that was frustrating.
I found sometimes some of the quests got a little bit frustrating, just in the way that like the one that really springs to mind is the potatoes. So there's like a potato in, you encounter a potato in a graveyard, and there's a potato in the abandoned house. And the one in the abandoned house is the father of the one in the graveyard. And so, like, the father goes like, oh, can you take a message to my son? So you go all the way into the graveyard and give the message to the son. And the son's like,
It's like a 90-second journey to get there.
It was one of those, like, the son is like, take this back to my father. And then the father's like, oh, thank you, take this back to my son. And I'm like, I've been running back and forth. This is getting frustrating, guys.
It's just, fetch quest nonsense, I guess. It would have been... Yeah. It would have been helped a bit with a warp, if you could just warp to your home at any given time, because that's like the center point of the map.
Yeah.
Or if you're a fast travel to certain locations, I don't know. But I guess some of the charm is just, you know, like plodding through this world as an onion. Like, yeah. I said, like the furthest distance you need to travel is, you know, will only take you 90 seconds. But when you are having to do it again and again and again, it is irritating, especially when you're looking for the last artifacts or whatever.
Especially, and the graveyard level is set up as kind of a maze, so it's a bit
very
like,
Zelda-y. If you choose the wrong exit to the level, you get warped back to the start.
Yeah,
And there's like a pumpkin giving you clues as to which is the right area for you to go to.
But you can knock this game over in like 3 hours.
Yeah, I would say so. Not only knock it over, but 100% in about
100%
that time. But I enjoyed myself the whole way through. Like I said, I have very minor gripes. I wish that the control layout was a bit better. And yeah, a few less fetch quests. But it seems very aware of what it's doing when it's giving you that.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it wants to annoy you with fetch quests. And they are entirely optional. It's just for idiots like you and me who want to 100% it. I mean, I'm the constant idiot. You just entered the idiot realm for this one game this time.
Sure.
Welcome.
I 100%ed being an idiot on this one. There was actually, weirdly enough, when I was working my way through the game again, because I was on like 98% trying to find what I was missing, I went to the abandoned house and at one point a ghost showed up.
Yeah, they never explained what that was about.
I kept like re-entering that room hoping to re-trigger it and like maybe there's something going on, but nothing ever came of it, which I was a bit like, aw.
I thought it was maybe like... it's the ghost that used to live there who now you then face her later on in the other abandoned place.
Well, it's a boy, that's the thing.
Yeah, okay, maybe it's the brother, I don't know.
Yeah,
that was a fun little thing. I was like, oh my god, what's gonna happen now? Fun. What about that weird piece of macaroni who like swears at you?
That's another reference to popular culture, because what the speech he gives is known as like the Navy SEAL copy pasta.
Oh,
which is
right.
Like some YouTube comment or some chat comment where some guy was like threatening another dude, being like, I'm a Navy SEAL and I can kill you in 8 different ways and I have 1,000 guns and all this stuff. So that was, I was like, oh, okay, cool. Another reference that I get.
I didn't.
Long conversation.
I'm not based
though.
Enough.
Yeah, true. Take the red
John,
pill, Levins. Come on.
Infinitely more poggers than I am.
Oh, God. You son of a bitch. I definitely recommend committing tax evasion with Turnip Boy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like a $20 game here, right?
Yeah, I think so, about that.
Yeah.
I think I paid $18, but that was on sale.
If you are someone that, like, you know, wants to see as much value, if you equate time to value when it comes to games, I can understand your hesitancy to commit that much money to a game that will be an easy one to knock over in 3 hours, but they are a charming 3 hours.
Yes. And also, what are you doing listening to this podcast if time spent equals value for you?
So those are the games that we played in the last week. I played quite a bit more of Kaze and the Wild Masks. Last week I said it was pretty damn good. I now think it is easily in my top three of the year.
Oh, damn. Okay.
It got, man, the second and third worlds, just they just up the ante so much, and there's so much to unlock, and the boss fights are really fun and rewarding. I think there's only 4 worlds of like 8 levels all up, but they're pretty difficult. I'm now dying a lot in these later third world levels, and then I guess I've got the fourth world to get to, which is only going to up the ante. But there's so many creative ideas in them, and like it just is really fun.
How are they upping the ante? Is it just more difficult platforming? Is it tougher enemies? What's the...
It's more difficult platforming, but also more variety in platforming. You can hang from things from your ears, and you've got to, you know, do a sequence of jumps off a different bunch of different vegetables. And then you know how they have in Donkey Kong Country the cannons?
Yep.
Where you jump in the cannon and then they move up and down on the screen. You've got to time your bit getting fired out of the cannon, right? In Kaze, it's like a catapult that she loads into with her ears and then fires off with her ears.
Right, okay.
And they just, like, there's the first level that they introduced that in is so fun and, like, just so many opportunities to fuck the timing up. And you're like, oh, that was totally my fault. It is good to play one of those games. Like, I've been playing... I spent, like, a fucking hour and a half today trying to transfer my PS4 save from Crash Bandicoot 4 to my the PS5 version to play the updated version.
Yeah.
God, it was infuriating. I had to... It's just a very annoying process. And then I finally got in there and started playing a level, and I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of hate this.
Right.
So to play, like, I just, you know, like, there's that hitbox window is, like, so frustrating, and, like, there's just, I never feel like it's entirely my fault when I die in those games, whereas Kaze is just so, like, precise. If I fuck up, it's because I got the timing wrong, or I messed a sequence up. You have to be so precise. It almost becomes a rhythm game in some of the more extreme platforming moments, and that's what I love. If you are a platform fanatic, this is a really important game for 2021, I reckon. And don't ignore Kaze and the Wild Masks. Cool. I feel like every episode now is going to give you an update on I can't remember the name of it now. I reviewed it last week, kind of, in a little bit. The one where you're the guy and you have to wait for ages for the god to wake up.
Oh, the Reckoning? No.
The longing. That's the one. I got mixed up with the Pathless.
All right, yeah. Sure.
But we have gotten a request for me to talk about that game again.
Okay.
Do yet another episode about the Pathless. That game is great. But yeah, the longing came out last week on Nintendo Switch, developed by Studio Soufs, and in it you play a little helper who is told by the king, I'm going to sleep for 400 days, look after the caves for me, and don't leave. And so you have to spend 400 days waiting for your king to wake up. But there's things you can do to improve your waiting, like finding all the different books in the caves, and finding musical instruments, and getting inspiration for art, and lighting a fire. So after we recorded last week, I got lost in... Because, like, time kind of ticks on at, like, regular pace. So... Essentially, if you aren't improving this guy's room, you will spend 400 days waiting for this king to wake up. 400 real-world days. But now I'm running at, like, just over double speed. So it's been, like, a week since I played, and it's, like, at... I think it's, like, 17 days have passed in my game clock. but that said, I've only played it for maybe, like, an hour and a half all up. Because now when I like before I play another game on my Switch, I'll just quickly go into the longing, have him pick up a book and start reading it, because time goes faster when you're reading a book. So this guy's read Moby Dick a few times. And how many of us can say that, John?
True.
But then there's this one room where it's like the hallway of infinite walking or some shit. And when you're walking through this white tunnel... time is at a standstill, if you just keep walking, every minute the room spawns a new item, like a book or a curtain or a horse's head that you can mount in your room. So I spent half an hour last week just walking through white rooms going like, yeah, I love indie games, man. but it's a really enjoyable experience, and I would compare it to The Neverhood, which is a claymation point-and-click adventure game that we played I played it in high school. I suppose you would have played it around the same time.
Was it a
LucasArts game?
No, I don't think so. Very, very just similar in concept, I think.
Yeah, that was really fun, that game. It was published by Microsoft and DreamWorks Interactive. There you go.
That's right, yeah. Back in the wild days of video games, when huge companies like DreamWorks were getting involved.
Yeah, totally. That guy went on to make Skull Monkeys, right? I never played that.
I think so.
Really enjoying The Longing. I think it's one of those things where if you spend an hour walking through these caves, like, you have to put up with how slow the main character is to control, but there are rewards that will then make the end game appear sooner for you. Very cool. Very weird and great concept. I like it.
Nice.
Have you played any other games besides the two we talked about?
There was the indie sale recently and I picked up a few things there. The one I sort of dived in on is Void Bastards.
Oh, yeah,
which
right.
Which I reviewed.
You already reviewed that, right?
Yeah, a long while ago on Xbox. But because I picked it up on Switch, this is something that I can more pick up and play from now and then. It's a first-person shooter where you play a series of ex-convicts. It's essentially a roguelike in that every time you die, you start again at the beginning, but, little bits and pieces of progress that you got from your previous attempts carry over.
Mm-hmm.
You play a series of convicts who are, brought back to life to explore this nebula that you're stuck in with the aim of, getting a, like, you need to find a printer and an ID to make a fake kind of identification card that'll allow the main computer on the ship to let you access navigation so you can fly out of this nebula.
Right.
So you fly ship to ship through all these derelict ships. And you can choose to dock on them and pick up resources to build stuff or resources to help you continue your journey. But at the same time, these ships will often have enemies on them that you need to deal with. And you might not be the most well equipped in terms of ammunition and stuff like that. So it gets a little bit tactical in that sense. It's one that I've had my eye on. One day I'll get this. And then when it showed up in the sale, I was like, cool, let's do this.
Yeah, fantastic. That's awesome. It's always good when I feel like almost every game I played on Wii U, when I rebought it on Switch, I was like, oh, wow, I love this game. And I only put like an hour into it on Wii U.
Yeah, definitely. That kind of vibe.
Yeah. I also played a board game last night. I kickstarted a series of three, roll and write style games, where you roll dice rolling games, basically. But there are small games that are very easy to teach, which are my favorite kind of games to play with my kids. These were started by Board Game Tables, who I guess are most famous for publishing a game called On Tour, which is one of my favorite roll and write games. And I guess in America, they're more famous for creating board game tables themselves. I kickstarted three games. One of them was called GPS, the other one was called Sequoia, and the third was called Mountain Goats. And they arrived last week in these great little square boxes with awesome art. And we played Mountain Goats last night, me, my kids, and my parents.
Ooh, nice.
And my dad squashed us. You choose a color, and there's numbers from 5 to 10 in front of you. And each of the numbers have like a pile of cards above them, and you have there's four goats of different colors at the bottom of each mountain, and you choose a color and you roll the dice, and then you can make patterns with the dice. Like, you can group the numbers together, like say you have a 6 and a 4, that you can either make you can go like, oh, I'll move it to the 6, or I can put the 6 and 4 together and that's a 10. And so you can, for every number that you can make with your groups, you move a goat up one level of that mountain. And at the top of the mountain, you get a chip with a point score on it. And then you make your way down the mountain. It's really simple. It's so fun. I'm over the moon with like how great my first impressions of this game were. Everyone like was really invested. So, highly recommends. If you go to boardgametables.com, you can buy them all for $44 American for all three. Guys have some great stuff on their website. But yeah, I think I'm going to try and play GPS tonight, which is like a spaceship one with like a an actual like physical spaceship that you have to spin around in the middle of the table. And it's just very impressive what they're able to fit in these small boxes. Which is quite similar to how I feel about the Oink games. And I literally just got a notification saying that DHL has delivered a series of games that I kickstarted from Oink Games earlier this year. So that's my weekend sorted.
Hell yeah. Nice one.
And also my immediate plans. My next 10 minutes are going to be me opening these and going, ooh.
Well, we can't hold you from that, my friend. I need to head off as well. Plus, they're doing construction here, which... Have fun, listener, picking that one up on my mic.
I haven't heard anything, but the mic you're using will pick up some funny background sounds.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, y'all. Are you playing anything this week? You looking forward to any games coming out? Or
potentially, there's one I want to pick up on Steam called Fights in Tight Places, or Fights in Tight Spaces, which is like a card game where your cards control like brawling moves that your character does.
Yep.
Like, it's a combination brawler/card game, which I've been keeping my eye on.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Other than that, having a daughter.
Yeah, so we should say that, like, at any given moment, John may suddenly have 2 weeks off the podcast. Because you do get paid paternity leave from podcasts now.
Oh, thank goodness. what about you? Anything you're looking forward to this week?
Well, we should say that the publisher of, we'd have to say that the Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion was developed by Snoozy Kazoo.
Yep.
And published by Graffiti Games. And Graffiti Games have actually published a game called Blue Fire, described to me as like a third-person 3D action version of Hollow Knight. And I have that on my Switch and I need to play it. So given how much I enjoyed Turnip Boy, the least I can do to say thanks is to play Blue Fire. So I'm going to try and play some of that this week, which is exciting.
Nice.
So that's it for the episode. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. If you would like to hear more of us, you can. There's another bonus episode. There is a bonus episode on our Patreon so far and another coming very soon. Shit, we should maybe try and get that in the can soon.
Definitely. I mean, I'm going to be taking my microphone home with me from the office, so... Hopefully we can work out some times to record.
But we have a Patreon episode, which is a nice long deep dive into the game Bastion by Supergiant Games. And very soon we're going to be recording an episode all about the Stanley Parable for our Patreon Game of the Month Club. You also get access to our Discord community, which I mentioned earlier, which is a great place to talk indie games and many other fine things. You can do all this at patreon.com/allthesmallgames, and we thank you in advance for even considering such a thing. John, if you want to find him online, you can at 16tacos on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at levdog, L-E-V-D-A-W-G, and the show can be found at facebook.com/allthesmallgames or at Twitter, at allthesmallgame. You can email the show too. I think we have some emails, so we can read them some other time. allthesmallgames@gmail.com. We love hearing from you, and thank you very much for listening once again.
Bye, everyone.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.